You're listening to Podnosis, the pulse of the healthcare industry. I'm your host, Ayla Ellison. In today's episode, Fierce Healthcare's Emma Bevins sits down with CVS Health's Chief Medical Officer, Sri Chagaturo, to discuss his role as the chair of the American Telemedicine Association's Board of Directors. Recorded at the association's conference in Phoenix, the conversation dives into the state of retail telehealth in light of major players like Walmart and Optum Health discontinuing their services. They also discuss CVS Health's telehealth strategy and its omnichannel approach to care. Here they are.
Hi, Sri. Welcome to Podnosis. Thanks for joining me today.
Emma, it's really a pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Of course. Well, we're here at the American Telemedicine Association's Nexus Conference, and you have just been named the chair of the ATA Board of Directors. First, how's your conference going? And can you give us a little bit of a flavor of what this conference is all about?
So the conference is going fantastic. So ATA Nexus is our annual conference where we are able to bring together our big tent membership. And what do I mean by that? It's payers, it's providers, it's technology vendors, it's manufacturers, to bring anyone who's interested in advancing the mission of telehealth, which fundamentally telemedicine is healthcare. And it allows us to understand where's the industry been over the last year and where are we heading as an industry, and do that best practice sharing and that ability for us to connect in person and to continue to build that excitement around telemedicine.
Yeah, great. It's a fantastic conference. This is my second time here. I read that you've been on the board of directors since 2020. Can you take us through a little bit of how the last 4 years on the board have been, and now that you are chair, where you're hoping to take the board, take the organization further than where it's been in the last 4 years?
Definitely. I mean, 2020 was the beginning of such a tragic time in healthcare. And what we did see during that time was just this explosion in interest in telemedicine. So we have, if you look at and widen the aperture around what's the history of telemedicine, we've had some form of telemedicine for over 100 years. And the first instances were in the 1920s, where clinicians were radioing from their ship out to shore to get help on how to take care of patients on their boats. And we've clearly advanced substantially since then. But in the last couple of years, we've had this incredible explosion in telemedicine. And now that we're in this post-pandemic era, we are in what we would call a new normal. We have a better sense of where telemedicine works, where it doesn't, yet we continue to have unanswered questions on a number of issues, care models, on payment, on the labor, and how all of this fits the overall provision of healthcare. And other notions of, like, how does telemedicine not be just a standalone set of services, but fits into what I would call an omnichannel experience, where you are toggling between in-person and virtual, synchronous and asynchronous care, and ultimately a very consumer, patient-centric form of care. So as we think about the ATA and our Big Tent membership, we want to take the lessons that we've learned from the pandemic of what works, and then also, and to help share and spread that, but in addition, to develop the evidence and to continue to advocate for where there needs to be continued innovation on those topics that I talked about. So I'm excited about this next renaissance that we see with telemedicine and the role that ATA will play in that.
Yeah, great. For anyone who doesn't already know about the ATA, can you give us a rundown of some of the million activities that this organization is seemingly always doing? Where are you guys focused? I know there's a policy side, but it's not all policy. Just give us a bit of an overview there.
Happy to. So as I mentioned, this is a big tent membership where we bring together the various actors in telemedicine, whether it's payers, providers, manufacturers, technology vendors. And so And in doing so, we want to convene in multiple different ways. And so we have special interest groups. Those special interest groups around specific areas, instead of thinking about telemedicine as one thing, it is actually a multitude of different opportunities. So telepharmacy or telepsychiatry, or how do we think about virtual nursing? So we have these, what's the role of telemedicine in global health? And so our special interest groups bring together members who are interested around those areas where they can share best practices and help advance the field. In addition to our special interest groups, which meet on a regular basis, we also have convening where we bring people together in conferences, whether it's the ATA Nexus, which we're here speaking at, which brings everyone together, or specific conferences that are around topics that we see our members are very interested in. One area, for example, is virtual nursing. What we saw with our hospital members was, with the significant labor shortages we're seeing with nurses in America, that virtual nursing could play a really key role in helping to alleviate the crisis of nursing in the inpatient setting. So virtual nurses could help with documentation, medication reconciliation, these other opportunities that help to alleviate the pressures that inpatient nurses are facing. So again, convening, best practice sharing, whether that's in the special interest groups or in these conferences.
Great, thank you for outlining that. You work for CVS. CVS has a significant telehealth business operation. I feel like it's fairly significant in this moment that you are rising to the chair of the board of directors of the American Telemedicine Association right after some prominent virtual care businesses have announced they're shuttering their doors, such as Walmart and Optum. I think it's given some people a negative view of retail telehealth or questions about whether it's going to continue to exist. With this context in mind, where do you feel like CVS stands right now in the retail telehealth market?
So we continue to see telemedicine as a critical way to engage patients. And so if you'll bear with me for a moment, if we think about what we're trying to do in healthcare, which is the quintuple aim, managing costs, quality, access, equity, and experience. But we don't have that opportunity to engage in health improvement unless we can have trust and engagement, right? So we need to trust our providers. We need to trust the organizations that are providing care. We need to be able to engage in them. And we need to engage them in a way that makes sense to patients, to make sense to consumers. And if you think about what patients want, they want care and access that's convenient to them when they need it. That means sometimes it's going to be in person for people who want it to be in person, and that's where the CVS Health footprint, where 85% of Americans are within 5 miles of a CVS pharmacy. And if we think about community pharmacy, it's the only asset in American healthcare where you can walk in and speak to a clinician and get answers and support in your care in America. And so we see in-person care as critically important, but we also see virtual as another important way to connect with those clinicians, whether that's virtually with our MinuteClinic providers or with your Aetna care managers who can help you in those post-transitional moments. So where does this lead us is that at CVS Health, we see omni-channel access to care, whether that's in-person in a clinic, or it's virtual, or in your home. And for example, with Coram, our home infusion company, or Signify Health, which provides home health visits for understanding patients' risk in their health, and then connecting them back into the care. That omni-channel experience is where we see at CVS Health, and also at the American Telemedicine Association, of how care is advancing. So we continue to lean heavily into these experiences. We don't see it as one versus the other, but the combination of the both. And ultimately, by having that trust and engagement, we can achieve that quintuple aim that I talked about at the beginning of this comment.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, I know that, especially in Congress, that's been a big topic of how do we balance access to telehealth with still maintaining access to in-person care, because obviously there are times when that's needed and telehealth can't always work. And so I feel like the sentiment you're expressing of omnichannel access is also something we're hearing regulators and members of Congress talking about as well. I want to move into any updates that you could give about CVS's trajectory in telehealth. I've heard there's some primary care offerings, perhaps. Could you illuminate that a bit?
Sure thing. So maybe frame out care delivery in our organization. So we have been providing care delivery services for many years, so through MinuteClinic. And MinuteClinic has traditionally been thought of as acute care services, but we've now expanded to over 100 different services that comprises, in addition to acute care, preventative and chronic disease management services. Over 100 different services. And what we've done is build virtual capabilities into our MinuteClinic, where you can either access MinuteClinic virtually for those acute care, preventative, or chronic disease management services on an episodic basis, but we also have virtual primary care. And what we've done is build out a 50-state virtual primary care practice. We work with employers to help them and their members, their employees, and plan sponsor dependents to be able to access virtual primary care. And that is to help them have that longitudinal relationship to manage their health outcomes. So we had built this up, the ability to provide virtual primary care, over the last 20 years of expanding the number of services. In addition to virtual care for acute services or virtual primary care, we also have a number of other care delivery organizations within CVS Health. We recently acquired Oak Street Health, and Oak Street Health is a primary care practice that is in over 20 states, nearly 200 clinics that are focused on the Medicare Advantage population as well as the dual eligible population, where we take a value-based care approach with a care team that works closely with patients to understand their needs, and then with a very intensive care model with a doctor and a nurse, social worker, community resource specialists that are able to help that patient navigate their health needs. So we continue to expand Oak Street Health. We also recently acquired Signify Health. So we now have 10,000 clinicians providing nearly 2 million home visits per year. And when our Signify Health clinicians are in the home, they're working with patients to understand what is the clinical conditions and risks that they have and help them make sure that they're on that path to better health. That information is then sent back to their primary care physicians or their care teams, as well as the health plans, to make sure that patients get the care that they need. And so that's, as you hear that, those three areas of care delivery, we have in-clinic in the pharmacies as well as virtual. We have in-clinic in primary care centers as well as home visits. And that's what we're really talking about, is that omnichannel experience where patients can experience CVS Health in multiple different ways and what matters and is necessary for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sure as a clinician, you especially understand the importance of making sure interactions aren't isolated, and that, like you're saying with this primary care model, that any visits that happen, whether they're telehealth, whether they're in person, that's eventually communicated back to whoever the primary physician is. Because I know one criticism of telehealth has been it isn't always integrated if someone kind of goes off to a random telehealth visit.
So what you're getting at is interoperability, a highly technical term, but the idea is that we want to make sure that when you are seen in one place, that information is available to other providers. And so we are the largest install of Epic by patient records in America. And we use Epic throughout our care delivery organization. And we've, as part of using Epic, we've exchanged over 500 million patient records between CVS Health back to other providers, whether that's vaccination records or if that's a care encounter that you had at a Minute Clinic, like those, or if you're being seen by a Signify Health provider, we make sure that information goes back to the care team. At CVS Health, we've invested in care delivery, which we think are critical to population health, improving cost outcomes and quality improvement. But we are not trying to build the entire healthcare ecosystem. We recognize that we need to be deeply partnered with the broader healthcare ecosystem. And a big part of our ability to partner is data exchanges. And our half billion records that have been exchanged is a testament to our commitment to interoperability.
As you were saying that CVS has the largest installation of Epic in the nation, what popped into my head was that's a lot of patient data. That's a lot of, like you're saying, half a billion data exchanges. Another, unfortunately, big topic this year has been data breaches with the Change Healthcare attack. What is CVS doing to keep patient data safe and ensure in all of these billions of interactions that the data is safe and secure?
Patient privacy is our top priority, and we've invested heavily in cybersecurity to ensure that patients' data is protected both internally and externally. And what we do see is that there's continued bad actors in across, unfortunately, the country and the globe that are trying to undermine patient safety and protection. And our commitment is to the continued investment of protecting that patient data. That's in the technology stack, working with people to continuously test our infrastructure and make sure that it's robust. So this is, as we've seen over and over, this continues to be an issue. And as an industry, I know that everyone that I talk to sees this as their number one priority, ourselves included at CVS Health.
You already talked so extensively about CVS's health services in general, telehealth services. I wanted to ask if there's something that you think people don't know or often recognize about CVS's telehealth services, telehealth business, that you would want people to know.
We have an extensive care delivery organization that has been providing for many years healthcare services. And we now have extended that through virtual services, and whether that's virtual urgent care or acute care, but also our virtual primary care, which I don't think many people know that we're in the virtual primary care space, but we're really excited about that ability to help employers, to help the American population through our virtual primary care product offering. And the other is that we are leaning heavily into this concept of omnichannel, which is that it's not just about telemedicine, but it's telemedicine in the context of in-clinic or home care. And we see that combination as where telemedicine is going, not as just singular services. There's still a role for singular telemedicine, but we see the real unlocked opportunity is that omnichannel access, which creates more engagement with your healthcare team.
What are you most looking forward to in your tenure as chair of the board of directors? Anything you're particularly excited about?
I think we're at this next stage of telemedicine over the last 100 years, right? We've seen many steps forward. Now that we're in this post-pandemic era, how do we further solidify and then continue to innovate on what we've learned through the pandemic on telemedicine? Part of that is doubling down on the trust agenda. I think people need to trust telemedicine. What does that mean? They need to trust that it's a good way of receiving care, that the platforms are good, that the data is safe. So there is a lot around this trust agenda, which is critical to my tenureship as the board chair, as we continue to work on building trust around telemedicine. And then there's the broader evidence generation. How do we make sure that we can demonstrate where does telemedicine is not a monolithic concept. We need to identify where does telemedicine work, and there's going to be other places where it doesn't work, and we should be honest with ourselves about that. But where it does work, we want to make sure we tell those stories loudly and clearly, and then scale those and make sure that the regulatory environment also makes sure that those things that work are scaled and those things that don't work or not necessarily supported.
Well, I'm sure it'll be an exciting year. I look forward to seeing you at other ATA events throughout this next year. And thanks very much for coming on Podnosis.
Oh, thanks, Emma. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Podnosis. I'm Ayla Ellison. You can find out more about this topic in our show notes at fiercehealthcare.com. Look for podcasts. And don't forget to tune in every Wednesday morning to Podnosis, where healthcare is our beat.